providence. It is God providing us. The known providence is the noun derived from the verb provide. Constantly providing for us. How we need, how desperately we need, beginning with myself, to see God's providence in everything which we stupidly can say happens in our lives. Everything in our lives is meant by God to be a grace. Some graces He wants us to enjoy. Thanks, Lord. Some graces He wants us to endure. Pardon me. Thanks, Lord. And during the retreat, be sure to examine your lives and ask yourselves, what in my life does God want me to enjoy? What in my life does God want me to endure? What in my life does God want me to remove? You mean, Father, you can't mean this. Do you mean that God puts persons, places, and situations into our lives that He wants us to be rid of? Yes. As the young secretary of an executive that I counseled, a married man, that's he. The secretary, an attractive woman. On an occasion of temptation, strong temptation to her, well, her bosses, more life. You've got no choice. You've got to. I use the verb rid yourself of. You substitute another verb of that secretary. During the retreat, be sure to realize that God is master of everything, our Lord. And He puts in His what we call permissive providence temptations into our lives, and He wants us to remove those occasions of sin. And finally, God puts into our lives pleasant creatures, pleasant experiences, that He wants us, not because we're bound to, but because we want to, remove from our lives out of love for the God who loves us. Jesus Christ is indeed our Lord, but He is a loving Lord. And with this I close. As St. Paul tells us, having joy set before Him, He chose the cross. He would have made only as good a retreat as we examine our lives and ask ourselves, what does Jesus Christ want me to surrender? Give up. Not because I would sin if I don't, but because, like Jesus Christ, out of love for Him, I will do what He did out of love for me. Embrace, I mean that verb literally, embrace the crosses in our lives, because we love Jesus Christ out of love for us, embraced his cross and made the way of his cross out of love for us. Mary, Mother of Jesus, Mother of our God, obtain for us something of your deep faith, faith in Jesus as our God, who wants us to love him as you loved him, by standing under his cross and being spattered by his blood. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, confessions. And then, as I said, I will be available for conferences. Is it 1:30 to 2, and then 2:30, and then 2 to 2:30, and 2:30 to 3.
You are to be my witnesses. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, Christ's final message to us from his time here on earth. And he speaks to the disciples and to us and challenges us to take on our call as witnesses. Witnesses of what? The Ascension is Jesus physically departing from his disciples. And in the Ascension, there are many messages, and in Father Hardin's book, Retreat with the Lord, he mentions that our Lord's ascension into heaven has one reason that is to dramatize the real distinction between heaven and earth. He says, what does this mean? Of course, it means that there are two different states of existence, the celestial and the terrestrial. But it means much more. It means that the human body has two stages of being, one on earth and the other in heaven. And so as we come together during this retreat on the Feast of the Ascension, we need to consider, where does our focus? Now, notice that some of you wear beepers. I used to when I was in a parish. If you think about it, a beeper says a lot. It says that we have a total commitment to whatever it is the beeper's on us for, what we're working for, what our job is. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, Father Hardin wears a silent beeper. He's always on call and always responsive to the Lord. And the gauge as to what we're responsive to is how we witness. What we witness to. Jesus goes on in his final message to say that signs will be worked. Those on whom you lay your hands will be healed. And think of all the signs that God works through his disciples, his witnesses. It's the sign of healing that is the most dramatic, the most impressive. Because what does healing mean? It means bringing one to wholeness. The Feast of the Ascension is our Lord going back to the Father, body and soul. And our mission here on earth is that celestial one, that one of healing. the opposite of healing is hurting. Right now, are you healing or are you hurting? Physically and emotionally, we can passively be either on the process of mending or on the process of hurting. And we tend to live out actively one of those two. We're either hurting or healing other people in our lives. This Feast of Ascension is a feast of true hope that we, like Christ, can attain to our heavenly calling. But to be witnesses of Christ, we need to be in the process of healing. That healing within us and that healing in our interaction with others. A lady was walking along a street in New York City and she came upon a little girl who was playing in the midst of the filth. The little girl was terribly undernourished and dressed in rags. And the lady said to God, "How can you let this happen in your creation? Why don't you do something about it?" And the Lord answered her, "I did. I created you." Our Lord wants us to be ministers of healing. He wants us to appreciate that all the struggles we have in our lives need, as it is said in that second reading, to be put under the feet of Christ. The enemies of Christ in our life, that weakness, that sinfulness, that alienation that we feel, to put it under the feet of Christ means to submit it to the healing power of Christ. And like the lady in the story, that means to truly bring our experience of God's love and extend it to someone else. To reach out and truly let someone else encounter the healing power of Christ in us and through us. Jesus says, "Go and proclaim the good news." How can we do that? One of the things I do each month is I go to Pittsburgh and visit my 94-year-old uncle. He's in a good Catholic nursing home, and one night I was in chapel praying. And as I did, an old couple came in and made their way to the front of the chapel. And they greeted a nun who was there, and I could tell from the greeting that the old lady had Alzheimer's. And I watched as the nun left and the old couple sat down to pray, unawares of my presence. And as they did, it really struck me how that went. The old man kind of put his arm around his wife, whom apparently he was visiting in that nursing home, and he said, "Dear, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven." And as he began to pray, his wife kicked in. She remembered, and she prayed along with him. And as they finished, he said, "Well, now let's pray to Our Lady. Hail Mary." And again, his wife kicked in and joined with him in prayer. And I was in the back of the chapel in the darkness, and I was in total awe, thinking of the beautiful devotion and love that he was showing to her. And then the next thing I heard from him was, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." He began to sing old-time songs to her. And again, she joined in. And I was in total awe, thinking to myself how many other couples in far less grievous situations would be staring at each other blankly. But not this couple. They were rejoicing in the memories of their good times and in the joy of their present love. A love that they worked on for 62 years. Theirs was a resurrection and ascension faith and hope. They truly were focused not on the sufferings and difficulties of this present life, but the healing that was being wrought through those purifying experiences. They were focused on God's love, a love that they had experienced throughout their lives from God and through each other from God as well. Our Lord is challenging each of us to appreciate the love that He brings to us and to affirm that love as we reveal it to others and share it with others. And He's calling us further to truly live on in that love, to let that love be something that for us is the way we respond to life. There's only two choices in life. We either react or we respond. We use the word react typically to mean our natural reaction to things, which so often is filled with fear and anger and hurtfulness. But the word response normally refers to that mature way of responding at a level of love, at a level of supernatural grace. An American warship was off the coast of Vietnam, and on board there were a great number of wounded prisoners of war. The medical doctor on board was taking excellent care of them. One of the other officers came up to him and complained, "Treat these men the way they're treating our wounded." But the medical officer responded by saying, "I'm not going to play by their rules. I'm going to give these men the best possible care I can, so that I might replace the hate in them with love." That's the challenge of our ascension. That's the challenge to go forth and proclaim the good news. That's the challenge to be witnesses of God. Let us on this feast of the Ascension appreciate the three raisings up that Jesus went through and that he calls us to go through. He was raised up on the cross in suffering, and so were his disciples in that time where they experienced that crucifixion and the suffering that followed in their lives, the challenge of faith. He rose up at the resurrection, a rising up that reveals the great love of Christ and validates that faith. And finally, he was raised up and rose himself, ascended himself into heaven. The challenge in our lives to live out the true hope, to trust in God and in his loving plan for us. Let us today truly reflect upon the challenge to be his witnesses, witnesses of the good news of his love. Let us hear and embrace the call. You are to be my witnesses. Go forth and proclaim the good news. Let us now join in the profession of faith.
We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.